It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast, the Ministry of Torso. Thank you for joining us today. And this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24 and Psalms 122, verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together and to do this broadcast. We ask for your spirit to lead us, guide us, and feed us the things we need to know as your word is opened. Please anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and help us always to grow in grace and wisdom on this day of preparation. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Before we go into our opening song, I would like to mention something. Everybody may not know because people come on at different times, but of course we've been in a end-of-life type of situation. My mother was not able to tolerate dialysis, and so rather than they wanted to keep sending her to the hospital after dialysis, so rather than us having, you know, to have her pass in the hospital or in an ambulance, we made a collective decision. Mom was a part of that decision, and she agreed that we would just end dialysis. Her children were able to see her, and, you know, others were able to see her, and we just had a wonderful time caring for her at end of life. The hospice nurses thought she would last about a week, 2 weeks max. Mom actually passed away yesterday morning, right before the broadcast, okay? 5:55 a.m. Broadcast starts at 6. And she lived 3 weeks plus several hours, okay? And she died yesterday, which was 2 weeks prior to her 93rd birthday. I did post something on Facebook. If anyone wants to see Mom, I took a little, 14-second video. Just text me and say, please send me the video. It shows you who she is. Mom was a happy, smiling. Even the video was taken just a few days ago, just so you know, and it gave a picture of who she was. She's a kind person, a loving person. She always had a smile. The transportation gentleman that would take her to dialysis, she was there. She brightened up their day. A lot of people are fussy and angry and mad and irritable. And when they would come get Mom, it just brightened up their day because she was happy and at peace with God. And so she had visitors, lots of people called and those types of things. And I do believe that the Lord was showing he's in control. We weren't expecting her to survive, but at the same time, the hospice nurses were shaking their head. They didn't understand how could a person live at the age of 92. Mom was taking in every bit of a little squirt of water maybe a milliliter of water. That's just what you get in a little dropper bottle. But I do believe that because she went on a plant-based diet for almost 3 years, I believe that had a lot to do with that, because she came to live with us. And it has been a wonderful privilege to serve her. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. And so God assigned us to that. And of course, when you have an assignment from God, it has its challenges, it has its restrictions, it has its mountains that you have to, and valleys. But the bottom line is that the Lord blessed us. We may not have done everything perfectly, but we did it faithfully. Mother was very happy here. And, we cry our tears, but we know we don't have to sorrow as those who have no hope. Some of you have already wished, given condolences, and we appreciate that. This is also on Facebook. Lots of condolences came. I couldn't respond to all the condolences, so I'll probably just post one thank you for all the condolences. But do trust me, I read them all. I will continue to read them all. They are very special to me. So God is good. I wanted to let you all know. So I knew that when I walked in Mommy's room, so at around 2 a.m. yesterday morning, Mother was breathing, but I could tell, the decline was slow, but I could tell, today wasn't like yesterday or that, days before. This is something different, And so I kind of thought, we had about 24 hours or so to have her with us. And so about 2 in the morning, I went to check in on her. She was breathing, very comfortable, very at peace, much at peace. We did put her on a little oxygen just to make her comfortable. The oxygen doesn't really sustain life in a situation like that, but it makes them more comfortable, less fidgety and that type of thing. Never had to crack open any drugs, no morphine, no nothing. That was disposed of. The hospice brings that to you, but you don't have to use it. So the bottom line is that I went back to bed, and when I got up, to get ready for the broadcast and went in and checked on her, I didn't see any signs of life. Took my stethoscope and checked her heart, and all I heard was just a little faint flutter. So that's basically when the heart doesn't just boom, 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 and then, immediately stop. Sometimes it just kind of fizzles out a little bit, and I kind of heard that fizzling. So I believe that it was right about 5:55 a.m. Having not had the opportunity to let the family know, I didn't mention it on the broadcast yesterday, but that is why on yesterday we did not open the phone lines. We kind of cut it a little short. And some of you all might have sent something, just knowing the background, knowing that we were caring for Mom. I know some of you all were praying for us, and we appreciate that. Definitely, if you want to see the little video, if you're on Facebook, go to my Facebook page, and you'll see that post. If not, I just want you all to see what Mom was like a few days ago, where she's just smiling. And she still slept most of the time, and God is good. She was lent to this world for 92 years, and the world was a better place. Result. We all have issues, we all have things in our background, and Mom had gone through some traumatic things, and that affects you. But I can tell you this, at the end of Mom's life, while she was here, if there was any tension, any friction, or anything that was in her life, she called people and made it right to make sure that she was making her calling and election sure with God. And she was a very docile, humble, loving mother, as we always knew her to be. So the bottom line, friends, Jesus is coming soon. If we want to be in heaven, we have to give our hearts to him and confess our sins, number one. Number two, we have to live in obedience with his power. And number three, you just have to treat people the way you would want to be treated. Okay? That's what we have to do, and we are guaranteed to be in the kingdom. And a lot of times, some people have asked God to forgive their sins. They're too proud to say, I'm sorry. There are others that do not keep God's commandment. And then there are still others that don't follow the golden rule. And we have to treat other people the way we would want to be treated if we were in their circumstance. So thank you all for being our spiritual family, we wanted to let you know this is my first, you might say, statement since her death, which was yesterday, public statement since her death, and it's to you. You're our spiritual family. So God bless you. Keep us in prayer. We are reassigned now. We were never unassigned to do ministry full-time, but we had an additional assignment to take care of my mother. God has reassigned us without that assignment and her assignment, my mother, her assignment on this earth has come to an end. And that's what it is, friends. We have assignments here. We are to honor God and glorify him here. So thank you all for listening. At this time, we'll have our opening song, which is It's About Time.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
before we go into this, I see some on Facebook who may not have heard. I'm not sure if you've heard the announcement that my mother passed. So I've had some very dear friends that I've known almost all my life. You are going to get a call or I'll send you a text. Just know that. It's a lot going on right now. So anyway, God is good, and we're moving forward. We're talking about the stoning of Stephen. That's our topic today, the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Let's pray. Father, as we study the word, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us, and we ask that you would strengthen us and help us to follow you all the way, every way, in Jesus' name. I want to give you the context, brothers and sisters. False witnesses had been hired against Stephen. And in the end of Acts chapter 6, they just made up things that he said that he didn't, you know, to say that he said this, he said that. They would have been things against Moses and about Jesus Christ that were lies about the Lord, our Lord and Savior. And so this is where we pick it up. But I want to say this before we read. It's a long chapter. We're mainly just going to read it, not a whole lot of comments, because what Stephen does is he does what we ought to do. We should know our history. He just starts at the beginning with Abraham, and he just gives the history of the Jewish nation to them, which they knew they were waiting on the Messiah. And what I want to tell you is that if you go to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 8, Daniel chapter 9, there is a prophecy. It's called the 70-week prophecy, and the prophecy gives you the actual year that Jesus was baptized. That same prophecy gives you the year that Jesus would die, and that same prophecy would give you the year that the gospel would go to the Gentiles, which started at the stoning of Stephen, which we're going to read about, okay? So Bible prophecy, brothers and sisters, is consistent. It's valid. No one can gainsay it. The day-year principle is solid. If you start with 457 B.C., which is the year that the Jerusalem was declared and decreed to be restored and rebuilt. That's the only time restoration and rebuilding was given. There was one by Darius and Cyrus, but that was only rebuilding. But it was Artaxerxes in 457, the third decree that gave them a restoration of government, you see. And so that's why we start the prophecy with that, because that's what the Bible says, the command to restore and to build. 457 B.C., 483 years later, leads you to AD 27. That's when Jesus was baptized and started his public ministry. The Bible said that 3.5 years later, Messiah would be cut off. That means Jesus would die. He died in AD 31. And the end of that prophecy, which would end the probation of the Jewish nation, was AD 34. So that's why we teach, brothers and sisters, that there's nothing special about being a literal Jew. It doesn't bring you any special favor in God's eye. That is a mistake that Christians make, to think that God has some special favor. This organization, I'm not talking about the individual, because individual people from every walk can be saved if they accept Jesus. But the organization, the Jewish nation, killed Christ. You're not going to kill Christ and get favor from Christ. That doesn't work, brothers and sisters. It doesn't work that way. They murdered the Savior of the world. Okay? So there's a lot of misunderstanding about God's favor to Israel. And we're just here to tell you that's not what it is. But that's not the point. The point is that the 70-week prophecy ends with the story we're about to read. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" Talking about the false accusation. And he said, this is Stephen talking, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into his land, wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on, yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring him into bondage, and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God, and after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision, and so Abraham begot Isaac, and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him." Now, I want to say something. A lot of people misunderstand the covenant. A covenant is simply an agreement. God had many covenants, okay? He made a covenant with Noah that he wouldn't let it rain again, okay? So the point being made is the covenant of circumcision isn't the new covenant, you could say it's part of the old covenant in one sense, but the bottom line is that God also gave a covenant with Abraham that through his seed Christ would come. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So we know that Abraham had the new covenant. So don't be confused, because the Bible is very clear that Abraham is our example of the new covenant experience. And then, and that's a long time before Sinai anyway, when the Ten Commandments had come, and everybody who doesn't want to keep the Sabbath basically teaches that the Old Covenant was the Ten Commandments, and therefore they don't have to keep it. The Old Covenant is simply an additional covenant made by man with his promises that he would keep God's law in his own strength. That failed, and that didn't do away with the New Covenant. It was called old because it was ratified first, because it was ratified by blood by Moses. He, when they made that commitment in Exodus 19 and in Exodus 24, after they said it in Exodus 24, blood was spilled by an animal, and it was the covenant of blood was spilled, so it was ratified. That was based on man's promises. But the Bible in Hebrews said that those were faulty promises, and they were faulty. Right after that, they made a golden calf, so they broke the covenant. But the everlasting covenant is based on God's promises. And so it is still in force. It is always what never could go wrong. And that's what the promise of salvation. Everybody who has been promised salvation has been promised the new covenant, and that's that. So don't be confused when it says the covenant of circumcision. God made many different covenants with different people at that time. Okay. The patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. And that's beautiful, brothers and sisters. You know, God will be with you even if you're sold in Egypt, even if things are done wrong. You just stay the course, stay faithful to God, and delivered him out of all his affliction and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction. And our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brothers, to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him and all his kindred, 75 souls. That will be 75 people. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over to Sychem, laid in the sepulchre with that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, the father of Sychem. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. Now keep in mind, he's got them on the edge of their seats because they know everything he's saying is 100 rock solid true. This is Stephen's message. Remember yesterday I shared a deacon was a preacher that just had more physical responsibilities as opposed to administrative responsibilities or certain higher leadership responsibilities. They dealt with the actual temporal needs of the people more than the elders did. Okay, but they were preachers, and so we have it all wrong. We think the deacon just cuts the grass and that's all he does. No, he's supposed to know the word and be able to teach the word. Till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up, nourished him for her own son. You all know this story. He's just counting it to the scribes and Pharisees. And Moses was learned in the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was fully 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again. I'm sorry, and would have set them at one again, saying, "Sirs, ye are brethren. Why do ye wrong one to another?" But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, "Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday?" And fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, which is Sinai, an angel of the Lord, in a flame of fire in a bush. You know, I just want to show you how false education, how strong it is. God had, of course, he started giving Moses the first, 8 or 9 years of his life, the truth, because he was able to be raised by his mother under royal protection. But after that, he had to go into the Egyptian court. And so he received a false education after that, up to the age of 40, but he still remembered his roots. It took God 40 years to help Moses unlearn all the things he had learned in those 30-plus years in Egypt. That just shows you how powerful false education is. We have a lot to unlearn, and Moses had to deal with dumb sheep in the wilderness. You know, sometimes we chafe at circumstances that are not as favorable, and we forget God is trying to prepare us for something, and it could be something great, but we tend to give up, we tend to complain. God is not able to always get glory from our suffering and from our challenges, brothers and sisters. But if we are faithful to him, we will find that he was working it all out in our behalf for our good, the Bible said. And so I just want to bring that out, that it took him 40 years to unlearn what he learned. And how did God do it? He had him dealing with disobedient, dumb, wayward, unintelligent sheep so that he could learn how to leave the 99 and go after one. And Moses became the meekest man upon the face of the earth. And that means that he wasn't easily roused. And, you know, people did him wrong, and he was able to just accept it and not complain. All right, reading on. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. And Moses, whom they refused, saying, This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the midst. It spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, Make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Brothers and sisters, Deacon Stephen is preaching, just sharing the history that they know to be true. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Rimphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? verse 51, and we're wrapping it up. And Stephen's about to wrap it up too. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them before, slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law of the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Brothers and sisters, that Saul became Paul, and he was the apostle to the Gentiles. And so that was the beginning of his conviction that Jesus was the Christ. He resisted. God had to deal with him, but he was sincere. So because he was sincere, God dealt with him one-on-one on the road to Damascus. We'll read that at another time. But God is so merciful, friends. He's not going to let you die in your sin without giving you an opportunity to be saved. Let's take those opportunities. Let's be faithful to God. The devil is a liar. We need to rebuke his suggestions. Let's follow Christ. Today is the preparation of the Sabbath. Let's get ready for that holy time with the Lord. We will have Sabbath service on tomorrow at 12 on Zoom. The Zoom ID is 557-587-3947. We will be here also for morning worship. God bless you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for Stephen and his powerful sermon of history and then bringing the Jews up to the point of conviction. Instead of accepting what he had said, which was true, their fathers did always kill the prophets, and they killed Jesus. They got upset about it, and then they persecuted him. Persecution comes from the church, and so we must understand it will be those who claim to be believers in the truth that will be our greatest enemies. We ask, Lord, that you help us to be faithful like Stephen and just speak when you tell us to speak and be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, friends. It's time now for us to transition with the torso song, and then we'll be back to hear from Sister Lenny, and she will be sharing with us the topic, What is Mental Illness? The next voice you will hear will be, the next thing you will hear, I should say, will be the torso song, and we're going into a little intermission.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered, and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and
All right, at this time, brothers and sisters, let me make a little adjustment here, and we're going to hear from Mr. Lenny. All right, our topic is, what is mental illness? Sister Lenny.
Good morning. Happy Friday. What is mental illness? Even though illness of the body and illness of the mind are closely interrelated, there is an obvious difference in their manifestations. Illness of the body produces symptoms relating to body functions. Examples are cough, fever, pain, diarrhea, nausea, or breathlessness. Mental illness, on the other hand, produces symptoms relating to one's thoughts, emotions, and patterns of conduct. Here we may have depression, suspicion, unwanted fears, mania, delusions, hallucinations, and withdrawal from reality. Anything short of perfect mental health is, to a greater or lesser degree, an involvement with mental illness. Just as most people have minor physical ailments, such as occasional indigestion or a painful joint, so also they have minor forms of mental illness. Emotions can get out of control sometimes. A person becomes mildly depressed when very tired, or a series of misfortunes may prompt the thought, people have it in for me. There is no sharp line of distinction between mental health and mental illness, for there is a great variety of in-between situations. In fact, medical men sometimes look upon mental illness and mental health as phases in an adaptive continuum. Some persons with minor degrees of mental illness get along quite normally in spite of their handicap. Others live in such close relationship to other people that their symptoms of mental illness are socially troublesome, their presence being hard to tolerate. Legally, the essential difference between a mentally normal person and an abnormal one is that the one is tolerated by his family and community, whereas the other is unwelcome. Perhaps the broadest concept of mental illness defines it as disintegration, like a breakdown of the personality. The person with mental illness is inadequate, unable to get along well in usual activities and responsibilities of normal living. I have a niece who is severely depressed, and she calls me at least once a week, and I don't care what I tell her to do, she never does it. You can't make nobody do anything. I can only suggest and encourage, and I talk to her as if that's the first time I talked to her that year, you know, no matter what she says. And I had to share with her because of my own personal experience with depression. You're not going to get better until you get off that medication. That's just the bottom line. You know, God will help you. Trust me, He will. He will help you. Can't do it without Him. A contented mind, a cheerful spirit, is health to the body and strength to the soul. This reading this morning is coming from You and Your Health, page 445, volume 1. You can also find information on Mind Cure in the Ministry of Healing, page 97 to 106. God bless you, and may you be blessed today and do all that you can for your health to protect your mind. God bless you.
Amen, amen. All right, we're going to go right to our roll call, and then we have two already on the phone lines. We have representation from South Carolina. We have representation from Virginia on Facebook. And on the call, we have Ohio. We have Maryland. We have Alabama. We have Maryland again. We have Delaware, Delaware, and Delaware again. We have Ohio again. We have Iowa, and we have Georgia. And on the call, in other words, in the queue, ready to speak to us, is, let's see who is going to choose first. Okay, it's Sister Leilani. Good morning, Sister Leilani.
Yes, it is early in the morning here in Alaska, 2:46 a.m., and I have a testimony. I came to Alaska to be with my daughter because she was having a lot of problems grieving her father's death in December of last year. And we've been going to church together, and she's trying to get on a plant-based diet, and I've been helping her with that. But the testimony is that my granddaughter had her baby on the 10th of May, and we had been expecting this delivery. She had her baby at home, and we had gone to prayer meeting. Our prayer meeting was 6:30 to 7:30, which was 9:30 to 10:30 Iowa time. And so she called us the next day and told us she had the baby at 10:30. And it was so quick, they didn't even have time to set up the water birth pool that they had planned to use. And I'm amazed at God, how he answers prayer, because the one thing I was praying at the very time he was in labor, that baby, that it would be an easy delivery and it would be a quick delivery. And I just had to laugh. I said, well, you know, it didn't have to be that quick, but it was.
And amen.
Baby and mom are doing just great, and all those prayers have been answered. So we're just over the moon. And it's really kind of helped to take Gina's mind off of her father. But we're so grateful to God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, sister. God bless you. I'll be reaching out to you a little later as well. All right. And we have Sister Stella David. Good morning, Sister David.
Good morning, Pastor. I'm sorry for your loss. But you have that hope that you know you're going to see her again. You have the opportunity to see everything was okay with her. Anyway, today is my birthday, and before you pray, I would like to pray for you.
Okay.
So
sure.
Can I pray, and dear Father, come before you. I put my pastor before you. You know all about him. You know we never get accustomed of lasting or loved one. But Lord, you give him the strength that he take care of all for the last and whatever it is that he did, and continue to bless him and his wife for such a wonderful job. Lord Jesus, continue to keep his mission and have your way with him. Inspire him day by day and give him that peace. Give them that peace that passes all understanding. I ask his mercy in another name. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister David. God bless you, and happy birthday.
Happy
birthday. Amen. All right, friends, it is about 10 minutes to the top of the hour. We have Sister Kevin on the line. We'll go ahead and take her call as well. If there is anyone else, just go ahead and press star 6. We've got 10 minutes to the top of the hour. Good morning, Sister Kevin.
Good morning. I, too, want to add my condolences. What a privilege it was to know your mom and to meet her. And I just know that this too will pass, and it just makes us long for heaven even more so, because God's promise is sure that one day he is going to put all of this in our path. We'll have no remembrance of anything sad. So I'm looking forward to reuniting with your mom. God, continue to pray for me as I pray for you, and pray for everyone on this line that we will all be faithful in our journey toward our Father.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, friends, is there anyone else that would like to share anything? All right, well, we'll turn it over to my wife, Undreamed Of, to have our closing prayer.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship and fellowship. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and may your spirit continue to teach us the things we need to know so we can continue to grow in grace and in wisdom, drawing us closer to you. Lord, we pray for the petitions that have been requested. We ask that you would be with our dear sister over in Alaska, her and her daughter and granddaughter. Ask that you would be with them during this time. Pray that healing would take place and that it would be also a spiritual awakening for her daughter, Lord, drawing her closer to you as she has just gone through this experience of giving birth. We pray that you will help this little one to be healthy and mother and child can bond in a special way. And we pray that this dear sister can be used in a mighty way in her home to show her daughter and granddaughter of your loving ways. We thank you for our dear sister, Kevin, Lord. We thank you that she has returned back safely and had a nice visitation with her family, and we just thank you for all that she do, and we just ask for blessings to be placed upon her and her family. We pray for our dear mother in Israel, Sister Davis, asking that you will be with her and her family. Thank you for letting her come and to participate in this morning's broadcast, and we just want to keep her lifted and all the others that are there at that home down in Maryland, Lord. We just pray for those precious souls that you have there and who are just witnessing to others in that place, and we just thank you for their devotion to you and their dedication of wanting to do your work and to do all that they can to hasten your return. And we pray, Lord, for those that have given condolences at the time of need for this family and our home, and we just pray that you will continue to give your strength, give peace, and give us rest in these areas that are much needed. We thank you for all that you do for us, and we pray for others that may have offered up petitions. And if anyone has been missed, I know that you have not. And I thank you for hearing each one and answering in accordance with your perfect will. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. He shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution. And in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. Happy Preparation Day, and God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust.
Worship the Lord.
July.